A couple of Fridays ago, alarm went off, my eyes barely opened, and the first thing I heard from the Holy Spirit was, extend the study about prayer. How are you going to argue with the Holy Spirit when He speaks to you first thing in the morning like that, right? So, okay. Normally, we don't do a topic of study, as you guys know. But this is the different case. When He speaks to you, you do. You don't argue with God. Okay, let me just give you a quick tip. Whenever you argue with God, that proves that you are wrong. Okay? When the other side is always right, and when you argue with that person, what happened? You're wrong. So you give in, you do what he says. I have a set of pop quiz, and you're thinking, oh, what do you think we are in? Is it high school? No, but pop quiz about your prayer life. You don't need to answer loudly, but you need to answer to yourself honestly. Okay? Are you with me so far? Question number one. Are you satisfied with your prayer life? If you're like me, say, right? Question number two. When you pray, are you confident that the Lord is listening to your prayer? Another following question is, after you finish your prayer, do you believe that the Lord is capable to do what you ask for? Third question. When somebody asks you to pray for them, do you always remember to pray for them? I hope you do. Question number four. When you pray, do you only want to be seen and heard by the Lord because you are not concerned about impressing others with your prayer? With that in mind, if you're like me, you're not exactly happy with your prayer life. Actually, it is much to be desired. And because you feel that something is lacking and something is hindering and something is not quite right with your prayer life. Whether if you think that it's not long enough, it's not deep enough, it's not strong enough. The Bible clearly teaches us how we should pray to the Lord and why we should pray to the Lord and what we should pray to the Lord. Guess what? We come up with this dumb theology of our own prayer concept. And we throw in all this, give me that, and I'm done. I'm adios, I'm God, until next time. I hope that is my prayer and my hope that we learn something that we may have a better prayer life. That according to His way, not according to our way. Are you with me? Let's pay attention to what He is going to teach us. Let's stop and what we do. Father, speak to your children. We don't know how to communicate with you. A lot of times it's nothing more than Christmas list, nothing more than what we want. Let us acknowledge who you are and let us repent from our sins, confess our sins, and thanking you for what you do. Then we may present our need, which you already know before we eat. Teach us how to pray. As your disciples, give us clear instruction, etch it in our heart that we may do. Father, we pray for President Obama and all the authorities over us. Father, shake their souls, that they may be awakened by you. They may turn their heart to you and do what is right in you. And we are lifting up uniformed personnel, our armed forces, law enforcement personnel, and the fire. We're asking you to put the hedge of protection around them. Keep them safe. We pray all this in your mighty name. All right, some of you may know one of the children book called The Five Children and It by Edith Nesbit. In this book, brothers and sisters, during the summer holiday, discovered the ancient sand fairy, not really existing, but it's a book, children's book, who grants them daily wish, whatever they want, each day. And they're realizing, these children are realizing that those wish grant, their wish being granted, bring more trouble than happiness because they cannot foresee the result of getting everything they ask. So, getting every prayer or request granted would be quite a disaster for all of us, don't you think? I don't like this person, but I agree with this man, what he said. Garth Brooks, he said, the best gift to the man is the unanswered prayer. If I got everything that I prayed for, I would be in neck deep trouble. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 5, please. Go to 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 5. The scene is, Solomon is about to be the king. He is the king, actually. He is the successor of the King David's throne, and he is falling asleep, and God showed up in his dream. And this is what happened. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask, what shall I give you? You know what it is? God is saying, okay, here's a blank check. You write whatever you want. It's it. It's yours. It sounds great, don't you think? You can write whatever you want, and God will grant. No string attached. I've thought about it since I have a lot of imagination, like you guys. But it boils down to the one thing. This is my blank check wish. I want to be just like Jesus. I'm not trying to replace him. Are you with me on that? I'm not trying to replace him, but I want to be just like Jesus so that I may be able to do the will of Father. I may be obedient to him to the last breath. And I want to be just like Jesus that I may bring the glory to the Father in heaven. And you say, well, you say that because you are behind the pulpit. What's the reality? That's it. Anything else, I know if I ask for something other than the will of God, it will bite me badly. We cannot do anything, any will of God, unless we communicate with the Father in heaven through prayers. Prayer is so simple that a smallest child can pray. Yet it is so great that the mightiest man of God cannot say that he truly has mastered. Prayer needs to be an earnest conversation with God, not a formula. Are you with me on that? It's a conversation. Highlight, write it down with the big bold letters. Highlight, note that earnest conversation with God, not a formula. It's not a word that we pray that matters. It is a condition of our heart. Condition of our heart. Prayer is a privilege and obligation of the Christian where we communicate with the Lord. It is how we convey our confession, request, intercession, thanksgiving, and etc. to our Holy God. We are commanded to pray. Did you hear me? We are commanded to pray. It was not suggested. So what does prayer require? If people will ask what prayer requires, you may even get many external requirements. Or to pray to God, you have to be in a secluded and nice, quiet place. Or you may have to wear this particular clothing. And they sell, if you want to have a real prayer with God, you have to buy this for $29.95. But that's not the only thing you're going to get. We can send you another one. That's not the only thing you need. It's not the external things, rather internal. And true requirement of prayer have to do with our internal and spiritual more than. It doesn't matter where you are and what kind of situation you are in, you can pray and you can have that intimate time with God. I list a few requirements as it came to my mind. Number one, faith. Without faith, you cannot pray to God. George Mueller, great man of faith and prayer, was once asked, what is the most important, most crucial part of prayer? Do you know what he said? 15 minutes after I said amen. Let that sink into your heart. 15 minutes after you said amen, that's when you say there's a doubt comes in. Amen means so be it. Let it be so. There is no power in our prayer in itself. But the one who listens to ours has. Prayer is making deliberate contact with God in word or thoughts. It needs to be the voice of our faith. The voice of our faith as the bridge between sheer panic and serene peace. Let me say one more time. Your prayer is the bridge between sheer panic and serene peace. And you may say, how does that work? Without prayer, without tapping into the power of God, you are in sheer panic. We are lost. But once we're tapping into God's power through prayer, we get to have that peace that passes all men's. You understand? If we don't have the faith in the one who listens to our prayers and respond, we should not even waste the time and effort in prayer. When we pray, we have to pray with our eyes on God, not on our difficulties. Turn your Bible to James 1:6, please. If we keep our eyes on the difficulties, this is what happened. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his. Did you get that? If you don't anchor your faith in God, this is what happened. By the way, when you pray, hear me well, please. Especially those who have a Catholicism background. Do not, I repeat, do not pray to Virgin Mary, do not pray to saints, do not pray to angels. Because, you know why? Because they are not God. Only God can answer your prayer. Only God has that power. Show me one verse from this Bible, not Catholic document. From this Bible where they have the power, they have the capability to answer your prayer. You don't. Don't let me get started. Second requirement is humility. The highest form of prayer comes from the depth of a humble heart. We cannot and should not think that we can order God to do what we want. Instead of trying to twist arm with your prayer, put yourself in it. True prayer is always offered knowing how weak we are in ourselves and how much we need the power of God. Third requirement is honesty. Whether our prayer is a public prayer or a private one, it must be honest without an ounce of a pretense. How can we even think that we can pull the wool over the all-knowing eyes of God? Sin must be confessed, mistake must be admitted, and blame must be stopped. Let me say one more time. Sin must be confessed, mistake must be admitted, and blame must be stopped. Don't do this. Whatever you've done is this. Okay? Own it. And you confess it. Admit it. Then, now you have a clean slate. Fourth requirement of your prayer is without ceasing. Without ceasing. Of course, Apostle Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, pray without ceasing. Alright, does it mean we pray 24/7 and be on our knees all day long, do nothing else? No, that's not what it meant. Let your prayer be as natural as your breathing. So you commune with God through your prayer as you breathe. If we have to think about breathing all consciously, we would be all dead, especially in Green Valley, right? So we have to remember to pray to Him. We have to be conscious to pray to Him, and we just do it all the time. And the atmosphere in which we constantly live. Besides, our persistent prayer demonstrates faith in Him. That is how our God real is after. Then there is a hindrances to our prayer. Go to James chapter 4 again. James chapter 4, verse 3. Our memory verse. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. Why are there times when we pray it seems like it goes out from our mouth and bouncing off the ceiling and not going anywhere? Seems like it's like God, are you listening? I think that there are several reasons our prayer may be hindered. Number one is the selfishness. We can pray the most eloquent and beautiful prayer conceivable, but if our hearts are in the wrong place, and if we are motivated by the selfishness, then our God will not hear us. So what is our motive? It can have everything to do with how we our prayer. Does it mean we cannot ask for our daily bread? No, that's not what it meant. Like, oh, you can ask for a car if you don't have a vehicle. God might provide you Yugo. When you have mine for the Cadillac Eldorado or Lamborghini. Or Ferrari. Why not think big, right? God said He won't meet our what? Needs. Second thing is idol in our lives. That will hinder our prayers. God is telling us that when we have an idol in our lives, He will not hear our prayers. And go to the Ezekiel chapter 14. Ezekiel chapter 4, verse 3. Ezekiel is located right after the book of Daniel. God speaking to Ezekiel, Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their hearts. Note that word, idols in their hearts. And put before them that which caused them to stumble into iniquity. Should I let myself be inquired of at all by them? And you may say, come on, this is 21st century. We don't worship down to this stature. Do you know what the real idol is? Anything that replaced the presence of God in your heart. It can be ministry. It can be job. It can be your spouse. It can be your children. It can be your dog. Whatever it is that replaced God, and you may say, I just said a dog, and he said, aren't you going too far? Oh, yeah, not really. I found out that when I came to the United States in 1981, I realized you Americans practically worship your pet. They are the master. You are pretty much a slave. You do whatever they tell you to do. Third thing that hinders is for unforgiveness. Are you nursing a grudge? I mentioned this. Against someone in your life right now? If so, you need to deal with it so that your prayer will not be hindered. Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. Verse 20. By the way, just side note. I watched the news, and this particular news about a guy with a cat. He has a cat that is sick. He spent $23,000 on cat. I thought, Okay, you must have a brain size of pea. Mark 11:25. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. Okay, I'm going to go on a sidetrack again. This is for the husbands. You husband, if you have an argument with your wife, and I know your ladies are already doing the elbow nudging. Knock it off, ladies. If you don't have a right relationship with your wife, God will not hear. It's in the Bible. Okay? Be careful. You treat your ladies with precious vessel as if she is a precious jewel. That's how it works. Selfishness, idolatry, and unforgiveness, they can mean the difference between answered and unanswered. Are you with me? I can see that some of your husbands, I don't like this. Too bad. Deal with it. The Bible says so. Remember what I said at the beginning? Whenever you argue with the Bible, guess who is wrong? You answer. Here's the things the devil doesn't want you to know about. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Stop there. Devil does not want you to know several things, and this is one of them. The truth is that you can approach to the throne of God anytime, 24/7, in any situation. Devil wants us to think that it's a point system. If you're a good person, you've been doing good things, you've been praying, you've been reading the Bible, okie dokie, you can go to the throne of grace. But if you sin against God, remind you and condemn you and saying that you're no good. How dare you to go to the holy throne of God, you scum? Guess what? That's the time when you really need to go. Christian can approach God any time because our relationship with the Almighty is not based on what we have done for Him. Rather, it is based on what Jesus did. His sacrifice on the cross applied to us when we are down as well as when we are up. In the process of life, we will confess our sin, ask God to forgive us from our sins. But all the while, we possess the access to go boldly to the throne of grace through Jesus Christ. Amen? Don't forget it. Don't let anyone con you. But if you're an unbeliever, if you're not born-again Christian, you don't have that access. And you may say, well, I'm a child of God. No, you're a creation of God. You are not a child of God until you are born again. You with me? Nevertheless, the devil is there telling us we are not good enough to pray to God. No doubt that that's how he whispered to Adam in the Garden of Eden. Remember? When they chose to sin against God by eating the forbidden fruit, not apple, forbidden fruit, and they knew that they are sin against God. And the Lord is coming in the cool of the day to have that relationship, that time with Adam and Eve. And of course, the devil, I'm sure he whispered to their ears, go hide. How are you going to hide from the all-knowing? And they hid. And trying to get away with the sin in there. Next time when you fall into sin, did you notice how I said? Next time when you fall into sin, not if, because you and I are sinners, right? Turn to God. Go to church. All too often we think that I cannot go to church now. I cannot go to God. Because those churches are filled with godly people. Look around. Do they all look like a godly people to you? No, they are sinners. They are Jesus-believing sinners. This is the hospital for the Jesus-believing sinners. So when the devil tells you, that, say to you that you are not worthy, don't hide from God. Run to God and receive help from Him. And all right, go to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. For we do not wrestle against the flesh and blood, but against the principality, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of the wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having the girded your waist with the truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Prayer is frequently represented in the Scripture under the figure of the spiritual warfare. In the spiritual warfare, the three personalities are involved. Between holy God on the one hand, and the devil, the deceiving devil on the other, and stand the praying man, praying woman. I'll just make it as a man. The weak in himself, he occupies a strategic role. In the deathless struggle between dragon and the Lamb of God, it is important that we play the role. Though the power and the authority that praying man wields are not his own from the beginning, it was given to him by the victory that achieved by Jesus. If we have faith in him. Listen, no one is more firm believer in the power of prayer than the devil himself. Not that he practices, but that he suffers from it. Though our prayer may be awkward and feeble, but since the power of prayer is located in the one who hears it, and not in the one who says, our prayers do make a difference in our spiritual. I like what Saint Augustine says. Prayer as the Pray as though everything depended on God, and work as though everything depended on you. Prayer is not an escape from responsibility. It is our response to God's ability. Did you get that? True prayer energizes us for service and battle. And you may say, what about the time I don't know how to pray because I'm overwhelmed? Let's go to Romans chapter 8. Have you ever encountered a situation? It is so mind-boggling. It is so big, so beyond your capability to think and comprehend. You really could not come up with the words. This is what the Apostle Paul says. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weakness. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession. And like I mentioned, that situation, there's a time you don't know how you can. The word is not conforming in your mind. It's beyond your capability to analyze. Did you know sometimes some of the best prayer are the shortest and the simplest? It may be nothing more than a grunt or groan. But God understands that prayer. Whether you have a beautiful prayer to pray or whether you don't know what to say, present it to God. And the Holy Spirit help you. As we just... And you, it might come to the situation you say, oh God, that's enough. God knows what's behind you. That unfathomable and unimaginable, unthinkable situation, He knows. Remember that all God has done for you and all that He is doing for you. He saved you and His Holy Spirit indwells in you. And He assures you, He teaches you, and He helps you to pray. So I'm asking you and myself, let's heal ourselves. When you are beyond your own capability, that's a good time. You tried to do your own thing, and you said, I cannot do it. Maybe you should have done it. Pray before, wait upon Him, instead of trying to fix the stall after the horse ran away. How about let God guide you to fix that stall before horse? Let's open up our heart to work that He wants us to do in our lives. Three applications. Number one, work without prayer is atheism because you are not including God in your life. But prayer without work is a presumption. Remember, we have a responsibility. Second application, when we pray, we have to pray with our eyes on God, not on the difficult. Third thing is not necessarily application. It can be rebuke. If you only pray when you are in trouble, it is no wonder that you are in trouble. Folks, put this in your mind. God is not your 911 operator. Don't call on your God when you are only in trouble and no other times. It is no wonder you are in trouble. Commune with Him daily. Remember? Daily? Daily devotion and daily prayer. Not when you want the Lamborghini.